Hi, and welcome to another episode of our podcast where language enthusiasts talk about learning and stuff.
It's three of us here.
I'm Zoya.
I'm Taya.
And I'm Ksusha.
In this chaotic world, we're all in need of safe space to speak one's mind, love, and enjoy life.
Because that's the only way to stay sane while
zooming
through
chaos. Hey, and welcome back to Zooming Through Chaos podcast. Today we have a new episode, and this is the third part of the historic game, I would say.
In breakers for us. Record breaking.
Record breaking, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
We have a special request from Zoya for the third episode.
Yes. Yes. You have no one to blame but me for doing it again. And I'm okay with it. I rarely ask people for anything. And I just ask you guys, I want it to be a kind of trilogy. I want us to have round three. And here we are.
And here we are. Yes. So we have the same game, the same rules. Taya, can you please refresh them?
This is my turn, okay? The game is called This or That. So you get to choose between two things. And of course, there are rule breakers like Xuxa doesn't choose. Like, oh, yeah. And the meaning of the game is to choose between two options. So this or that, like coffee or tea, or I don't know, games or series, okay, something like this. But we make the questions like connected to languages and learning languages, as far as
I know. At least we try to do that.
We try, yes, yes. Because it's not our first time playing, and it's difficult to, you know, have this or that only with languages, or at least language-related stuff. But we're doing our best.
We're doing our best, yes. That's exactly my words. Okay. Zoe, it was your request, so can you please start? I will put you in the spotlight.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. So let's start with at least one of them that is language related. So, teaching or learning?
How can you choose between them?
Elaborate. Just elaborate on your choices, you know, here or there. Because I also like made it this thing and was like, huh? Mm-hmm. So yeah,
before I started breaking the rules, I have just one question. When I'm teaching somebody, I'm also learning something. So
again, I know that the rules of the game is to choose, but maybe, okay, but you can choose like, well, I like this more, I do more of this. So,
Daya, help me out.
Doesn't help, Zoe. Doesn't help. I do both.
Okay, I can explain my point of view here.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
I also cannot choose, especially as I'm a teacher myself, and I also like learning. And when you stop learning, you're dead. Paraphrasing our famous phrase from one of the episodes with our psychologist or therapist. But I'd say, because I don't think I'm going to be a teacher my whole life, at least in traditional sense, I'd say I choose learning, because you can always switch into teaching. Like, while learning something, you can teach something. Yes, and I agree with Ksusha. It's like always a kind of two-way street situation, that you learn something, you teach this. Or while teaching, you're also learning something about yourself, especially. So, but I stick with learning here.
That helped. No.
If we're talking about the same sense, yes, like I'm also not sure that I will be teaching my whole life, or maybe it will just turn. Maybe it will just kind of change the, how to put that, the format of that, so mm-hmm. it will not be teaching. I would go then for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would choose learning.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the minute Zoya explained your point of view on that and your choice, I immediately thought, what makes me
a good teacher?
I don't know. What makes teaching?
No, not a very good teacher.
No, yes. Stop it.
I mean, what makes teaching thrilling and exciting for me? Mm-hmm. It's learning something new in order to teach it others. So in order to, like, reflect this on my students in order to spread information that I learned. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. learning is, like, the major part of teaching for me.
Sure. And learning yes. comes first also.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. But I can justify a bit my...
Oh, you don't have to. Like, No. We're not trying to get you on our side or something. There are no
There's
sides
no judgment all. Here.
Yes, no judgment.
No. I just want to give a look, a different look at this on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we learned, or at least for me, everything I learned is cool and good for me for finding that out, but unless I share it with someone else, it can kind of die with me. so for me, the main idea is to transfer that knowledge to somebody else. It may be any means. It can be, I don't know, books, it can be lessons, it can be talks, anything. Mm-hmm. But the main idea for me is to spread the word, spread the knowledge more. So that's why for me that would be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be in the conventional way, not the traditional one, but still, it is spreading the word.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it is. The world's history is all about, like, teaching, transferring the culture mm-hmm. you have and all these things you know, you've learned in the past to the next generation. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess it's fair enough of you to think that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Okay. So my turn. Yes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. We will start with the easy one. There are two types of courses on teaching the language. A die-hard course when you need to, or the crush course when you need to learn that in a very short time, but you kind of dedicate all your time to that. It's like learn something in a month, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not the language, but at least some, I don't know, some aspect.
Or, English in 90 days.
yes.
Very generous of you, usually it's in 30 days.
Yes. Or slow and steady course. So you are just going with baby steps and slow growth and all this. So die hard course or slow and steady course?
I would go for the other one, not intensive, non-intensive course.
Slow and steady.
Extensive. Yeah, slow and steady. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I would go with this one because I've kind of, I had the experience of both.
Mm-hmm.
Studying both things, and it makes more sense to go for an intensive course if you are kind of limited in time because you want to move to another country. That's why you're learning as fast as you can, this language. So it makes sense for those people. But as far as I am not this kind of person now, and I tend to like accept the culture, to like learn something new, not in order to move to another country, I would prefer like extensive courses, normal, slow and steady, with my own path, tempo, my own tempo, not really fast, very slow, very relaxed. So I like being relaxed while learning something.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why.
Totally valid option.
What about you, Zoe?
I think we're kind of on the same page here. I've also learned like the... I've taught both options, and I've learned in these like ways too. And again, with crash courses and stuff, it's always like you have some kind of agenda, and it's like real urgent. You like you need to learn something for a specific reason and really fast. Or maybe it's some kind of like, usually for exams, actually, there are some things like this. And usually when people prepare for some sort of exams, they have like limited time. But I'd say like I also more of slow and steady learning kind of person.
So, same here.
What about you?
Same here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say that I have had the experience of really intensive crash courses, like in a month or something. But I studied during 2 years to enter the university. And I remember that it was intense. It was 2 years. It was not as intense. But I remember, and looking back from my photos from that time, I see all my friends next to me and me with a dictionary or something. And I understand that, yeah, it may be necessary in some situations. But in general, especially right now, I am more of a slow and steady person. So baby steps and the art of small steps, it's all my jam.
Good for you.
Okay. Who's
your turn, yes.
Am I next? All right. This one, yeah. Like, what would you choose? Communicating. If you want to, like, perfect your language, you're, like, fluent enough for your level, and so you want to, like, make it, make your level, like, a bit better. So would you rather communicate to a native speaker on or a non-native speaker, but very proficient in the language, but who has, for example, teaching experience or something?
So it's like peer studying or... Well, not even peer studying, sorry. No.
Studying with a native speaker or...
But it's like studying speaker. Or just communicating, like chatting?
I guess it's both. No, let's go for communicating.
Okay, just chatting then.
It's a lot about studying, but...
It doesn't matter to me.
So if you get to choose, so just you have, I don't know, 20 minutes a day for this kind of stuff, and you have to choose between two options. And you don't get both of them.
You're going to say that I'm breaking the rules again, but it really doesn't matter to me. And I'm more about the exposure to different, whatever it is, accents or people and their ways of saying. So I really can't choose here.
That's a difficult one, right?
Yeah. Because, like, realistically, I have non-native speakers who I speak to on a regular basis. and I mostly like listen to or watch native speakers. So it's not a dialogue. So I'd say non-native speakers, I'm starting to notice that, especially English teachers who are Russians or Russian speaking at least, they tend to have such a hell of a vocabulary in the best possible way,
mm-hmm.
that you can learn from them so much. And they're also motivated to, you know, to learn and to teach you maybe something. So
mm-hmm.
say non-native speakers. No offense, native speakers. It's just a bit more difficult to communicate with you nowadays. That's it. So, yeah.
I also have the question to the native speaker. Is this the average native speaker? Because all of that talks about speak like a native speaker and stuff. You need to understand that the native speaker is also a human being. Human, only human after all, that can make mistakes, that cannot know something. And in this case, like the average, I'm as a Russian native speaker, I think make much more mistakes than I make in English. So, yes.
But it's not about like that they make mistakes. It's just about that, like I also think that as a Russian native speaker, I'm not that interesting, to be honest. I don't use the vocabulary that you can find even in some modern books by some modern writers, you know, that they use. It's just more like colloquial Russian slang, and yes, and also some, a lot of actually English words. And so I don't think I'm that interesting to be, you know, to talk to me in Russian, but in English, I make more of an effort. And I try to use the words that I learn sometimes. So, yeah, I know. Like, no offense to anybody, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What would you choose, Tay?
Interesting. But I would choose to communicate to a native speaker.
Traitor.
I'm sorry. It's me now.
It's just a joke. It's a joke.
No, that's okay. I mean, maybe it's like my state of my mind nowadays, because I really miss this communication to foreign people and people from other countries. But, you know, I would like to have to learn something new from them, at least, like by communicating, by chatting, to know all these new things. Like you normally don't really get as much information about how people communicate in the streets somewhere in the country this language you learn of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I really miss the communicating with Germans, with different kinds of native speakers of English. And of course, I started to, it's an interesting story. I started to communicate to Japanese people on a like platform where you can communicate and learn languages,
mm-hmm.
With a native speaker. But I didn't get to like talk to Japanese people much, though I don't know, they don't really
want.
And yes, they are not as close as Russian friends are, so they, when they make friends, they are not as close as we.
I think they're more reserved this way.
Yes, that's the cultural thing. Yeah, remember, you were talking about that they have even, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, that they even have the different pronouns, like we, the close circle, like the family, and
yeah,
we or they.
Mm-hmm.
So some of division between these two.
Yes. Way to exclude people. Great.
Mm-hmm. So they tend to exclude many people from their lives. Like,
But you're still trying to knock on that closed door. Like, come on, guys, I want to talk to you. Yeah, I guess they have like these close-knit communities, right? That they stick to, people they know.
Yes.
Yeah, no, and also the importance of family and being close with the family is very different, I guess.
You know what? Japanese are not the only ones. I've heard the same things about Scandinavian people, that like everybody's like, oh yes, like, you know, this and all that country is really good for like, you know, relocating and stuff. And they're like, but then try to make friends with the locals. They're nice, but they're not going to be your friends, because they also have this like kind of, you know, like, we're like, okay, thank you, we don't need any more friends or something. So yeah, friendly, nice, but not really looking for. Maybe, and again, maybe you just, I'm trying to justify somebody's choice, I guess. Maybe you're just in this, you know, place in your life when you don't need any other friends. It happens.
Yeah.
So when somebody rejects you, it's not you. It's them.
It's not personal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not personal.
For sure. Yeah. Coming back to your point about talking to German people, I still stand by my choice, not choosing any of the parts, but as I had the point for the Zoe's choice, and now I think of the point for your choice. If we're talking about some cultural aspects, I guess yes, they are better to learn from the natives. And listening to you, I understood that I'm quite well versed in English speaking culture, pop culture, or a general overview of that, but I would really love to learn more about the customs of Spain or Latin America. I have zero knowledge about that, and in this case, talking to natives would be much more beneficial than talking to my fellow Russian speaking learners. So both of them have their benefits.
But I want to add to your point, actually, that I agree that learning some cultural differences or just cultural things is better from like native speakers, because they live there, they know whatever, whatnot. But to be honest, it's again, it depends on the person you're talking to. Because when I was still working at a language school, we had native speakers there, English native speakers, and they were so different. Like, if your interests are not the same, you're not going to be like, oh, you know what, tell me about, you know, the Beatles era in the UK in the 60s or 70s. They're like, okay. I mean, they are not that old, but still, like, you know, so they have different interests. And what I find useful is, like, finding out all these cultural things is, like, YouTube, because there you can just, you know, type like, oh, I want to learn more about like this time in history, for example. It doesn't have to be historical or something, but still you find it, and it's better because it's more on point with your agenda, for example. Because just like, you cannot come up like, if somebody, even in Russia, somebody comes up to me, a foreigner, like asking me about, you know, like, and what's happening there and what happened then, and I'm like, I need to Google it, sorry, just a second, because or if it's aligned with my, you know, interest, yes, sure, I'm gonna tell you, like, yeah.
Yes, and ultimately we all need people and the same connections and the same interests to share, so it's universal, like, for sure.
Okay.
Yes, so that would be it for today then. Thank you very much for watching, listening. See you next time, and don't forget to subscribe, ring the bell, like, share with others, all that jam. Thank you very much. Yeah. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye.